Amen, amen, amen. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. If I can draw your attention to verse 24 again, Jesus is talking. I think if Jesus is talking, we have to pay attention. Jesus says something, we have to pay attention. It's so interesting. All of these writings, particularly the Gospels, which are the manifestation of the ministry of Jesus, Jesus doesn't leave them. There's no book called the Book of Jesus. There's no book. What these are these are inspired writings and recordings of things that people heard Jesus say. And I think we have to take those things seriously. I don't even want to get into any kind of argument with you as to whether or not Jesus said this exact thing. That don't even really matter. I mean, I suppose for someone that wants to get into some kind of semantical, theological argument about the authenticity of the Bible, I mean, okay, I'm right there with you. I'm trained. I'm educated. I'm back in school myself, my God. I hear you, but I also think we have to take into account that the folks that heard this, that were inspired to record it, were impacted so powerfully in their life that these words transformed them, and they had to give them to us so they could transform us. Jesus said, I tell you, whatever you ask for, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. We talked about this last Wednesday, but let's just pick it up just a little bit more. It starts with you understanding what you want. It starts with you having the courage and the boldness to actually desire. I think there are some of you that are watching who you don't even want to let yourself desire anything. Whether it's life or situations or people or betrayal or issues or whatever it is, disappointment in the system, disappointment in the government, disappointment in white people, or disappointment in black people, or disappointment in men, or disappointment in women, or disappointment in a culture, or disappointment in a leader. It could just make you throw your hands up and just say, that's it, I'm done. I'm not looking for nothing else. And the beginning of this is to get that more desire. I think I wrote a book called More. I know I did. I wrote a book called More. You ought to probably get it. The very idea of more. You can't have faith and not ask God for more. You can't have faith and not believe God for more. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone? I'm in a relationship with someone right now, and several ones that I'm mentoring and trying to speak into them and trying to help them and trying to love them. And I'm almost bothered by how little they expect. They've been so burnt. Some of you been so hurt. You're so jaded. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, that your desirer, is that a word? The thing in you that wants has just shut down. And you are no longer thinking, this is what I want. This is what I desire. You're living more in gratitude than you are in expectancy. Basic premise of the book, and I'm not going to sit here and preach it because I think it would be good for you to get it if you never bought it before, wherever you may be. But the basic idea behind More, it's kind of based on Mark 11, in which when we think of this, whosoever shall say into this mountain, be thou removed, and cast into the sea, doubt not his heart, believe those things we say shall come to pass. He have what he say. Our assumption is that the mountains are all negative. Our assumption is that the mountains are all attacks. And the book basically breaks down. God said to me that actually there are five mountains that everybody is going to face. One of those mountains is the mountains of the attack of the enemy. But that's not even the biggest mountain. The biggest mountain is more itself. The biggest mountain is greater. Just greater is a mountain. Right now, I have asked God for more. I have decided I'm not going to settle. I have decided that my life is too short. I let this goatee grow in on a vacation, and it's great. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be here forever. Tomorrow's not promised. And I'm done settling. I've got a certain amount of time left on this planet. Maybe another 30, 40 years at the most. At the most. I got 25 years to really enjoy where I still have my youth and still have my strength. And I'm not settling. That desire for more, that desire for greatness, that whatsoever thing I desire, that in and of itself brings a whole host of challenges. And right now, the angst and the anxiety and the emotions and the difficulty and the pain that I'm dealing with right now has primarily to do with that desire for greater. Sure, the attacks are here, but the attacks come. That's not the mountain. The mountain is more itself. That I actually have allowed myself to desire something. It's tough. I know it's tough. There's a whole lot of folk that look kind of weird at me. Whole lot of people bothered by me. Whole lot of people don't like me. Whole lot of people at the end of my life are going to look at me and talk about how complicated I was and how annoyed I was, and how, you know, my wife will tell you, yeah, that listen, y'all loved Pastor Andy, but that dude, he was very rarely satisfied. I'm satisfied with the satisfaction that's never satisfied. I want the best God has. I want the best life's got. I want the best faith will give me. I want the best life. I'm at a point right now where I'm reevaluating everything I was taught. Who told me I was naked? Who told me that was wrong? Who told me? What do they have? I'm looking at my fathers coming down to the end of their lives. They don't look happy to me. I've decided that more is okay. But I want you to know that that desire for greater and that desire for more, it is a battle unto itself. It is a journey unto itself. And Jesus said, if you speak to a mountain, it'll get out your way. If you speak to a mountain and believe in your heart, don't doubt in your heart. Believe what you say shall come to pass. You'll have that. I've come to the understanding that not only are mountains to be rebuked, and here I am preaching the book, not only are mountains to be rebuked, but there are some mountains that are there just for the beauty. My wife and I went, my daughter, we went to Asheville, North Carolina. Those of you around the world that may live in mountainous regions. One of the great things about North Carolina is it's got oceans, it's got forests, and it's got mountains. It's got it all. It's got coastline, and it's got forest, and it's got mountains. And we were there driving, and just the fog on the mountains and the clouds in the mountains and just the beauty of the mountains. My best friend lives in Denver, Colorado, and just the mountains, just the ability. I'm getting ready to go spend some time with him because he's my friend. And just to see the beauty of the mountains. Every mountain shouldn't be rebuked. When you go to those mountain places, when you go to, you'll find that the most expensive houses are at the top of the mountain. The most expensive, the highest valued property is at the top of the mountain, because some mountains are there for there to be an advantage for you. You can't rebuke every mountain. Some mountains you climb, and then from that mountain, even the threat of the enemy is not as great. That's where I'm on my way to. I want to get to a place where the attack of the enemy isn't so much of a threat, because I'm so higher. I'm so much a higher plane than I have found Lord, set my feet on higher ground. Now I'm getting ready to get old school on you with a hymn. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, set my feet on higher ground. Lord, set my feet on higher ground. I know the old school saints singing about heaven, but I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about higher ground. I'm not rebuking every mountain. I'm not rebuking every expectation and telling the getting and seeing, doubt not my heart. Believe I things. Every mountain is not to be rebuked. Some mountains are there for you to have a higher perspective. My God, I'm praying that you go to another level. I'm praying that you'll reach heights that you've never reached. I'm praying that you will live in a bigger house than your parents ever lived in. I'm praying that you'll own more than your parents ever owned. I'm praying that you will have a power they never could even imagine. I'm praying that your family will come to where you live and leave annoyed and leave upset and leave a little bit bothered and leave a little bit hating. I don't know about you, but I eat that hate for dinner. My God. I'm praying that the Lord will put you at a place and they won't know what you went through to get there. Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And a part of where we left off last Wednesday, I know I'm all over the place, be bopping and scat, but I feel the anointing of God. Where we left off last Wednesday night was we left off with this idea, and that is that there is this space, this gap between what I believe and what I receive, when I believe it and when I receive it. It don't always happen like that. I know when we look at the Bible, we love the people that get stuff right away. We love the people that get their miracle in a minute, although we have a tendency not to really focus on the fact that they've probably been suffering for a long time. The man that was born blind, and he got healed right away, but he had been blind a long time. The woman with the issue of blood got healed right away, but she had had that issue for 12 years. The lepers that were cleansed had been lepers for a minute. I think we have a tendency just to overly focus on people and their quick miracle. And we don't really know. I'd be surprised. I don't know, but I'd be surprised if Jairus' daughter just woke up one morning sick and died. I don't know. My sense is that she was sickly. My sense is that when the Lord resurrected her, he didn't just resurrect her, he healed her. I don't got no Bible for it, but I want to believe it. My God. But we have a tendency to look more at folk that we think got stuff quick without acknowledging the fact that the folk who maybe waited for a while are the people that have a relationship with God. And we asked the question last Wednesday night, okay, Pastor Andy, what do I do in the meantime? I know I'm not the only one. I'm in the meantime. I'm not walking in it yet. I believe it, but I'm not walking in the manifestation of it yet. I'm believing for it, but I'm not walking in the manifestation of it. I believe. Whenever it comes to my mind, I say, I believe I have received my healing. I believe I have received my breakthrough. I believe I have received my debt free. I believe I have received it. When it comes to my mind, I say that, but I don't have it yet. And we ask the question, what do I do in the meantime? It's why I wanted us to look at Philippians, and looks like I lost it, but that's all right. I know the books of the Bible. And so Philippians chapter 4, the writer of Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and he's like, he's about to close the letter out. And he's like, look, I want you to do as best you can to rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. I say it again, smile. I say it again, laugh. I'll say it again, be happy. Be gentle. Let your gentleness be evidence. Let folks see your kindness. Let folks see your soft side. Don't always show them the bristled, angry, mad side. My God, that's a word for me. Show them the gentleness because God's watching. He's close. Then in verse 6, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but when everything, by prayer and supplication, petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. There goes that request thing again. There goes that desire thing again. There goes the courage to open up your mouth and dare to ask God. And peace that transcends your understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 8 is what I'm trying to get to, and I got about 13 minutes, so let me jump into it. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you what to think. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, if anything is praiseworthy, think about those things. One of the things that happens when we come together for service, and I can't wait till we are able to actually come back together in a meeting after the COVID-19 pandemic has been handled and dealt with and vaccines are in place and it's no longer a threat to our health and it's the end of the world as we know it. I don't know if we'll ever go back to how we were. And I'm telling you now, world overcomers, I mean, we are definitely going to come together, but we have to be prepared for the fact. But let me not get ahead of myself. What I'm saying to you is that when I think about when we come together, one of the things that we used to do is we used to tell people, I don't know what you come to do, but I came to praise him. I came to lift him up. And the way to praise him is to think about where God brought you from, to think about what the Lord has done for you. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out. Paul is saying, yeah, if there's anything praiseworthy, think about that. What do you do in the meantime? You get your mind steadfast. Last Wednesday, we looked at Isaiah. You will keep in perfect peace him, her, whose mind is steadfast because they trust in you. A steadfast mind. How do I have a steadfast mind? Well, I got to think about the right things. Now, Paul is saying, listen, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. I've taken past sermons and broke all those individual things down. Leaders, preachers, teachers will do that. We'll take our liberties and homilic. I don't know if that's really what Paul meant. I think Paul is just being redundant. I think Paul is just speaking extemporaneously. Is that the right adjective? I think Paul is just being superfluous. I think Paul is just saying, look, whatever is right, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy. He's just saying, maybe he's just trying to check the box of us because he knows us, because he's human like us, and he knows our minds just have a tendency to gravitate to the negative. We just gravitate to the lowest common denominator. We just go right down to the bottom. We just automatically just believe the worst. We just figure, oh my God, now this president is going to, what are they gonna do? We just have a tendency to look at the worst thing. Look at the lowest thing. That's what we have a tendency to do. Actually, I'm on my way. Paul is saying, no, I want you to say I'm on my way. I want you to say, on my way there, I may not be there yet. I believe that I've received it. And on my way there, I got to think about something else. I can't think just about if I spend. I mean, it doesn't mean I ignore it, but I got to focus. I got to dedicate some of my brain space to thinking about the stuff that's true and the stuff that's right and the stuff that's pure and the stuff that's excellent. Is there anything excellent? Is there anything praiseworthy? Think about that. So let me give you just a couple of things to think about and that will help you in your mind and in your struggle. I know what I think about. How do you do it, Pastor? And let me tell you what I think about. The first thing I do, number one, and the guys will follow along with me, but the first thing I do, number one, is I think about what he has already done. I think part of the whole point of your experience and of your miracles and of the past is to constantly remind you of what God is able to do. For you to count your blessings and see how far he has brought you. Sometimes I think in the heat of the moment, our brains, it's almost like they have a protection. There's a defense mechanism. We'll go into shock. The trauma is so big that our brain almost protects us and we don't really remember. But I think it's important to go back through your mind and remember how far God brought you from, what God brought you from, where you were 10 years ago, where you were 25 years ago, where you were when he found you. Remember that challenge, remember that difficulty, remember that pain. Every now and then, whenever I start to get frustrated about where I want to go and the greatness I'm believing God for, I just have to take a second and just remember Garrett Road. My God, I remember a service in the La Quinta Hotel, and I remember 10 people there, 15. I can remember. It's so interesting. I can barely feel the feelings I had at the moment, the defense mechanism of my own mind protecting me from the pain of that moment. I look back at pictures and I think, my God, Lord, how did I keep my sanity? How was I able to do it? Lord, look how far you have brought me. I count my blessings. I think about what God has already done. Number two, I think about how blessed I am, how blessed you are. That's my point. How blessed you are. There are people who would love to be you. I think one of the mistakes that we make when we don't serve and when we don't minister and we don't counsel and we don't help anybody is we forget how blessed we are. You get so focused on you that you get anxious. Philippians is saying, don't be anxious for anything. Part of the way that you fight off that anxiety is you serve. You look at somebody else and you think, my God, that could be me living on the street. My God, that could be me in this situation. My God, I may not have what I want, but Lord, look at where I am right now. Look at where I was. Look at what you have done for me. And look at what's going on with me right now. Some people don't like to hear you talk like that. That bothers people about me sometimes. I'm like, just be bothered then. They don't want me to show them how blessed they are in their pain. I was having a conversation with one of our faithful givers and members, and powerful, powerful woman, powerful woman. And she's going through one of the most challenging moments in her life. She's got a cancer diagnosis, and she's going through chemo and all the stuff that she's going through. And I'm praying for you, Doc, when she's the stuff that she's going through. And I when she first talked to me about it and just was like, oh my God. And I said, sweetheart, I said, listen, doc, I hear you didn't call her sweetheart because she's a woman to be respected and she's a little bit older than me. But I said, doc, I hear you. Can I say something to you? She said, sure. I said, believe me, you're in your 60s. You're 62, you're 63. There's somebody that's gotten this diagnosis and they're 23. There's a woman that's facing chemo and this kind of stuff and is afraid it's going to burn her uterus out, burn her ovaries out. You've had your children already. You're not just trying to have life. You're trying to have more life. You've had life. You're in your 60s. You've had life. You're trying to get these last 25 years. I'm with you. I'm with you, but understand there's somebody who's hearing this exact same news and they're 18. They don't even have life yet. And to her credit, she said, you're right. You're right. Be grateful. I'm not saying settle for cancer. I'm saying be grateful. There's someone else worse off than you. Be grateful. There's someone who would love to be in your shoes. You're blessed. Right now, you're blessed. Even in your pain, you're blessed. And then the third thing that you think about is what you're going to do when you receive. Woo, God. I don't know if you do that, but sometimes I do that. I just let my mind wander and I just daydream. Since the future is fictional, why not believe God for your miracle? And why not daydream about what it's going to be like when you're together? What is it going to be like when you have this person? What is it going to be like when you have this husband? What is it going to be like when you have this wife? What is it going to be like when you get that job? What's it going to be like when you're done school? What's it going to be like when your business takes off? What did you do the last time you were in this position? The last time you went from little to more, what did you do? Were you prepared? I'm sure if you're a believer, you've been here before. So what did you do the last time? Did you do what you said you were going to do? Ooh, that's a scary thought. I can remember saying, Lord, I promise you, God, Lord, I promise you, God, I swear, if you get me, Lord, if you do this, God, if you let this business take off, Lord, I own a certain amount of this company. God, if you let this thing take off, God, Lord, the generosity, let yourself dream about what you will do. Think about that thing. Start saying it. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I'm on my way to a wealthy place. And when I'm at a wealthy place, I'm going to pay for people's dinners. I remember I used to think that, Lord, one of these days you're going to bless me so much that I'm going to walk into a restaurant and I'm going to pay for somebody's meal that don't know me. I do it now. You can ask people who are close to me. Ask my daughter. If I walk into a restaurant, particularly one of my favorite, which is Cracker Barrel, if I see a couple, especially an older black couple, sitting there eating, I always ask for their check because I thought, Lord, if you ever bless me like that, I'll be a blessing. And I'm there again. I'm like, Lord, let this thing take off. Lord, let this company I've invested in take off. God, let that happen. Woo, God. Lord, if I've been this generous when I owe, get me out of debt and see how generous I'll be. And I let my mind wander and I'll daydream. And that excellent thing and that praiseworthy thing, I think about that thing. Now, the enemy's there. Ooh, the enemy's there trying to get me to think about what if I lose everything. But I'm like, the devil's a liar. What am I going to do when I walk in this blessing that God has for me? I'm out of time. I want to pray for you. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you right now for the miracle. Thank you for the future. Thank you for where you're taking us. Thank you for where you brought us from. Thank you for where we are right now. We're more blessed than we think. And thank you for where we are going. We surrender our lives to your will and to your way. Have thine own way, God. Strengthen somebody tonight, right now. I stretch my hand to the camera. Lord, as someone touches me through the screen across the continents, somebody in Nigeria is believing you for something. Somebody in South Africa is believing you for something. Somebody in Ghana is believing you for something. Somebody in Toronto is trusting you for something. Somebody in Ontario is believing you for something. Someone, Lord, in Paris is believing you for someone. God is trusting you and believing you for something. And I pray, God, that you will make the crooked straight. The rough place is plain. May the glory of the Lord be revealed. May we all see it together. Whatsoever things we desire, God, we're praying. And we believe that. I throw my faith out there and I add my faith to theirs. And we believe that we receive it and we have it. We promise to honor you and praise you for what you do and say you're worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said together, amen. Excited that you're with us tonight. Trust that you gave. Trust that you didn't just receive, that you gave. Some of you are believing God for something so big. You're believing for a financial breakthrough, a financial miracle. You're like me. I own a percentage in a company. Looks like it's, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm trusting and believing God. Some of you are in that exact same situation. And when that happens, remember the Lord. He's the one who gave you the ability to create wealth. And this opportunity that we have right now to sow in faith and give in faith. And if you did not do it, it's not too late. Woe Online, 77977, push pay will pop up. And you can give right now to the work of the kingdom of God. If you just was watching the worship and you somehow missed the offering, missed the opportunity to give, or if you just weren't even all that stirred or all that prompted, and right now you're thinking, what can I do? What shall I render? Just text Woe Online. 77977. You can't beat God given no matter how hard you try. And I want to give you an opportunity to be generous to the work of the kingdom of God. God will bless you. So glad you were with us tonight. We'll be back next Wednesday. I have a feeling we're going to be talking about this a little bit more. But I want us to walk by faith and not by sight. Never forget this. This is the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. I'll see you next time.